Deep within the communications building on the University of Arizona campus, a group of researchers are subjecting themselves to online abuse. They're poring over internet comment forums, reading every insult, every dirty name, every attack, every threat. It's not directed at them specifically, though. They're studying the behavior of people in what's still known as the Wild Wild West of the web, online comment forums. The study was funded by the National Institute for Civil Discourse.
And the grant is a collaboration between me.
That's Kate Kensky.
Kevin Coe and Steve Rains, all here at the University of Arizona in the Department of Communication.
The behavior of online commenters can be a pretty subjective thing. So how do you measure what's civil and what's not?
The hardest part of this study was actually just coming up with categories of incivility. We decided to take apart different elements that we think contribute to incivility. So we created a coding scheme in which we looked at things such as whether or not people in their online comments noted that they were agreeing or disagreeing with other posters, name calling, aspersions, calling other people liars, sarcasm. So far we have this coding of over 5,000 comments during the last fall from the Arizona Daily Star's website, as well as all of the articles associated with those comments.
Once a methodology was established, Kensky says they set out to learn just what subjects get people fired up online. And they were a bit surprised at what they found. Take sports sites, for example.
Because there's a certain level of incivility that's allowed in sports. You're allowed to call people from the other team a wide variety of names. Actually, didn't materialize to the extent that hard news does. We've also found that topics of related to finance and the economy provoke a lot of strong opinions associated with incivility. More anecdotal, because we need to wait for the systematic analysis to come out, but topics like immigration are particularly prone to bring out very strong feelings. And when those strong feelings come out, the license that people give themselves to describe the other side is much greater.
The study is almost complete, and researchers have learned a lot about the nature of online comments.
For example, I can tell you that somewhere between 15 and 20% of comments contain some form of name calling. But we also know that some people post a lot more than others. And so one of our future steps in the analysis is to take into account people who are chronic posters and compare them to people who come on less frequently to see if there's a difference.
Kate Kensky and her team are also looking at online anonymity. A lot of the supposed uncivil behavior on comment boards is driven by the fact that many posters can hide behind an assumed identity, or even multiple identities.
For example, in the video game literature, people know that when someone chooses an avatar, it may not represent their gender or sex. They may choose to be someone else. And that certainly can be the case here. People come online with multiple perspectives that they want to express, and that's something we simply won't know. Now, the Arizona Daily Star has an agreement in which they asked people to give their names and email addresses. Whether or not people honor online agreements is another matter, and that's just something that we have to take into account. And I would say for our research and for any research, when people are investigating online discussion.
Another researcher on the team, Steve Rains, is armed with century-old research on anonymity and crowd behavior. He says that provides more context for why people are comfortable lobbing proverbial grenades on comment boards when no one knows who they are.
And so the premise is that what anonymity does is it makes people feel more comfortable sharing things they might not face to face. If you get in a context like health, could be people talking about difficult health experiences. You get in a context where more of a political domain, it might be their political viewpoints. One thing I like to point out is that the research on anonymity is interesting because it says norms also matter. So when people are anonymous and they feel like there's a certain norm for behavior, they're more likely to stick to that norm, regardless of what it is. So if there's a context like a newspaper setting where people are discussing stories and it becomes, there a norm develops that it's just contentious, people are more likely to act in a contentious fashion than if there's a norm for it to be, I don't want to use the word civil, but I'll say more collegial. And so It's not just the anonymity alone, but it's the anonymity interacting with the context that oftentimes predicts people's behavior.
Raines is also taking a closer look at how group decisions are made online. He just finished a study where he looked at anonymity and self-disclosure in the context of health-related blogs. And it was clear to him that the concept of anonymity changes based on the setting.
Particularly people who felt stigmatized by their illness were much more likely to self-disclose when they felt anonymous. There was this sort of link there. It created a cover for people to share things that they might not be comfortable sharing face-to-face. Now, in a newspaper setting where it's more about sort of debate, anonymity makes people feel more comfortable sometimes, but it's perhaps to say things that they also might not say face-to-face.
Some websites, like NPR.org, have adopted fairly strict standards for moderation, which means some of the more acidic comments are removed. Sometimes a moderator will take an offending comment down if someone complains. Other times, they treat it more like a letter to the editor at a traditional newspaper. They edit and moderate it before it's ever published. Kate Kensky says moderation is perceived by some as a way to make comment boards more civil. Others see it as a stifling of dissent.
Anytime you restrict freedom, you know, less people may participate, or certain types of people may decide not to participate. Now, if you want very rational deliberation, that may be a good thing. If you want your forum to be more of an area of just expression, then you may want to tilt things on the other end.
Moderated or not, Kensky says online comment forums have served to increase the way citizens can express themselves, a further democratizing of our society through discussion, even if there's some yelling and name-calling involved.
Aside from voting, contacting one's political representatives, while there's many ways to help one's community, there's often limited number of ways that one can really affect political outcomes. I'd like to think that discussion can affect outcomes, and hopefully in a thoughtful way. And so I am pro discussion board, even when I don't like the comments that are necessarily posted on those boards. I think that it does enhance discussion. It provides citizens a way of, again, letting their feelings known. And occasionally, one finds on these various posts information from posters that one didn't glean from the article that actually provides, you know, a lot of insight, not just expression.
Ironically, plenty of people expressed themselves after the grant to study online civility was announced earlier this year. Kensky says there was a lot of skepticism from commenters on the STARS website.
One poster in response to the announcement of the SEED grant, for example, was concerned that we were academicians with an agenda and that this would turn into some kind of thought police experiment. What I would say ultimately is no, that certainly is not the case. Again, we've tried to create measures of incivility that would be acceptable to a wide variety of people on the ideological spectrum. I should point out that in our definition of civility, we consider it in terms of politeness, not necessarily in terms of accuracy. We certainly are not interested in becoming part of thought police. We are interested in looking at the relationship between civility and potential other outcomes. We certainly would like to see spaces where the public can thoughtfully discuss topics that are a matter of importance to the community. And if incivility becomes a barrier to that, that is a concern to us.
That's Kate Kensky with the U of A Department of Communication. The study on the civility or lack thereof of online commenters will be released soon. So far, the research team can say that while there's plenty of incivility on the internet, it is in the minority. I'm Mark Dugan for Arizona Spotlight.